It was last Thursday or Friday when a majority of the Democratic members of the Indiana House of Representatives met in Lafayette to decide that they needed a leadership change from Representative Pat Bauer of South Bend. And those that were attending and voting decided to ask the deputy leader of the Democrats in the House, Linda Lawson, if she would take the responsibility to lead Democrats and be a part of trying to elect more Democrats to the House of Representatives. And hopefully, you know, get 11 to 12 people to win, take seats back from Republicans and bring back the House majority. Linda Lawson has been a member of the Indiana House of Representatives since 1998. She represents District 1 in beautiful Hammond, Indiana. She is a former member of the Hammond School Board, so she understands public education, served on that board for 12 years. For 24 years, she worked as a police officer on the streets of Hammond, rising from the ranks of officer all the way to captain, the first female captain of the Hammond Police Department, and she now is the Democratic leader of the Democrats in the House of Representatives, and Representative Linda Lawson is on our live line. Representative, Madam Leader, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. How are you?
I am just fine. Vice Simpson just left here and gave you a glowing endorsement, and several other members of the legislature who I've talked to privately in the last few days, some who disagreed with the vote of the caucus, all of them said what a great person you are.
That's really, really nice to hear. It really is. I appreciate them, and Vi's been a friend since I got here, so that's also a good thing.
So here you are in this position. Is sort of like you're replacing a quarterback on the team, and you're in the middle of the game. What's your goals and objectives now?
Well, probably my first goal is fundraising. We're going to have to do a lot of fundraising to make sure that we do get members back here and get some of our new candidates elected. And secondly, reach out to all of our members, regardless of who they are, but to reach out to them and make sure that we move forward together as a group of 40 that are in the same block and the same mindset.
I got to ask you, this was obviously this whole process was very contentious. You know, folks was fussing, feuding, saying words that I can't say here on the public airwaves and stuff. But again, this is a program. We're on a station, The Light, where we shine the light through the word with a capital W and music. How do you bring folks together? You know, I mean, it's almost like you got to be King Solomon, Ruth, Esther, Dr. Phil, and Judge Judy all rolled into one. How do you bring the caucus back together?
Well, one of the things that I believe in is that I believe in a different kind of focus when it comes to leadership, that it's nice to have a person who's a figurehead and has to make those tough decisions. But I really believe that our caucus has so much to offer. There's so many members that have got experience and they've got an expertise in all kinds of things, regardless of what it is, and that we need to tap that energy and tap that experience and let them be part of the decision-making process. I think that it's my opinion of leadership is that top-down decision-making doesn't always work. And I think that, you know, for instance, instead of having one person in front of a camera all the time when it comes to any information that comes out of our caucus, that maybe, for instance, Greg Porter, who is the chairman of, or he is the minority leader in the education committee, would be the person, the go-to person. I would say to the media, if you have an education concern, you need to be talking to Greg Porter because he stands for education in our caucus. If you have a concern about transportation, I would say to you, Terry Austin is our expert. She knows about that, and she can deliver. So I would think that we would all have the same message, that the 40 of us would be working towards the same goal, and we would clearly get our message out that the most important thing in the state of Indiana is the people who live here.
You, I know that most of the members of the Black Caucus, including all of the African-American members from here in Indianapolis, largest Black community in the state, were not at the caucus meeting last week. What are you doing to reach out to the representatives of our community, because we're one of the key blocks of Democratic voters. I mean, there are a lot. Northwest Indiana is key. Southern Indiana is critical. Straight Northern Indiana, the South Bend, Elkhart, that's another critical. The older industrial cities, Muncie, Kokomo, Anderson, they're all critical. I mean, there's a lot of mosaic pieces to the puzzle that's Democrats in Indiana. What are you doing to reach out to our caucus, our African American legislators here?
Well, the only two members of the Black Caucus were Mara Candelaria Reardon and Charlie Brown, mm-hmm. who's been part of this team since it started.
Okay.
I have made phone calls and I have reached out to members of the Black Caucus, and I will continue to do so. Other members are too.
Mm-hmm.
And if it means a lunch meeting or sitting down together, we're more than willing to do that. And I know that we all have the same philosophy, and I also know that folks have had their feelings hurt. And I think it's not just up to me. It is partially and mostly up to me, but there are so many members that can reach out and mend fences, and we can all come together. There's not anything that we all don't stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Inclusion is the most important thing of the Democrat Party. No one can be left out. We all need a voice, and there's no reason that every member of the 40 of us can't sit down and hammer any of these issues out.
We're with Linda Lawson. She is state representative from seven terms from beautiful Hammond, Indiana. She is the new – oh, it is beautiful.
You like smokestacks.
Well, you know I've had to go through the region a few months ago driving – having to ride a bus to Chicago. And it's a different feeling driving when you're riding.
Right.
And when you're not worrying about driving in the car ahead of you, and you begin to see some of the beauty in Northwest Indiana. I got to see our toll road, and I don't see where those new people are fixing the toll road up nice. It looked the same to me.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother,
kettle. That's a whole nother story. It's not our toll road anymore.
You tell me about it. And then I was trying to figure out the Walmart next to the casino.
Right.
I was trying to look at some economic – I said, wait a minute, we ought to do that down here, some economic development down here.
Yeah.
But let me ask you what I asked Vice Simpson, and this came up obviously yesterday. The other side, the Republican side, says that they want to roll taxes back, income taxes for Hoosiers. And when the legislature decided in its wisdom – in the middle of the property tax crisis of several years ago, that the state would take full responsibility of K through 12 education in this state, and they would fund it from sales tax, income tax, which goes up and down depending upon the economy. The legislature went into that decision eyes wide open. They knew the risks that would happen by doing that. The Republican candidate for Governor Mike Pence wants to roll taxes back with no guarantee that we're going to be in good times. Does that, Linda Lawson, put K through 12 public education in jeopardy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. I am a real advocate for public schools. I've never voted for charter schools. I don't support charter schools, and I probably never will. And I have some good Democrat buddies and friends that do support charter schools, but bottom line is we cannot keep taking money away from public schools and expect to have any success rate at all. In fact, we need to be doing more than we're doing. We need to completely fund pre-kindergarten and for kids, not just Head Start, but all of that. So we absolutely, as Democrats, we have to stand for public education and what it stands for. And every time that we get rid of a tax, like the inventory tax, or we get rid of anything, we've got to make it up somewhere else. We get $2 billion in the bank, and bottom line is the people who put it there live in, they live in all of the communities of the state of Indiana, everywhere from Terre Haute to Richmond, from Hammond to Evansville, and those are the folks that are trying to make ends meet, but they have no access to services anymore. The CHOICE program, the Department of Children and Family Services, we keep cutting and cutting and cutting, and we are not going to be taking care of all of the people who live here. By the way, what do you going to do with your $100, that you get next spring? That's two tanks of gas.
That's true.
And you could be helping a lot of people in this state. That is a crazy, foolish thing to say, that by cutting anything, that it's going to make us, better people. It's just wrong. We have to take care of the people who live here.
Obviously, you need 11 seats to turn. You need 11 right. Republican seats to go Democrat. Some of that's going to be in the battleground of southern Indiana.
Yes,
but when the legislature redrew some of these districts around the Indianapolis area, they put some of the people that are listening to this broadcast into some districts that could be in play. And they're probably Democrats running in that in those districts, African-American or progressive white independent. What are you going to do to encourage those candidates on not in a black majority district, but in the districts that are kind of in the fringe or the parts of the city, part of the suburban area, to reach out and try to identify those potential Democratic and independent voters and say, hey, you really don't want the guy that's there now. You need me because this is where we this is what we stand for.
Well, I mean, that's our job. I mean, that's, again, besides, I guess, including fundraising and trying to raise money for our candidates, is the fact that we will be meeting with all of our new candidates and encouraging them to do whatever they can. And certainly inclusion, again, I'll say, is one of the most important part of the Democrat Party. I mean, there, if you look at our General Assembly and look at the 100 members, I can guarantee you right now you're going to see a difference between the R's and the D's.
Right.
And it is important that we reach out. I don't care what the person is. I don't care what culture they are, what race, what religious background they have. They belong to us. And I think that the candidates who are out there understand that and realize that. There is a certain Democrat value that we need for the public to understand and perceive that that's where we're at.
You're the first woman to be a leader of any party in the House of Representatives. You know, the Senate already broke that barrier several years ago. You're a grandma, and is part yes. of your motto going to be, you know, sometimes grandma's got to take responsibility. You're sort of like Miss Jackson.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, my granddaughter knows all about her grandma, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
She spends a lot of time, and she reminds me of my foul language at times, too. So, you know, I spent 9 years in a squad car and was, I think, I'm not certain of this, but I think I was the first female in Lake County. And then Hammond. So I've had experience at being the first female doing certain things, but my idea and my value of this world and the way I look at it is I would absolutely one day, and I don't know if I'll ever see it, but I certainly hope Genevieve, my granddaughter, will, that when we look at a person, we say, that's a great leader.
Mm.
We don't say that's a great woman. We don't say that's a great black man. We don't say that that's a great Hispanic girl. We say, that is a great leader. That is a person that I want to live next door to. That is a person that I want on my team. And we don't look at whom they are and what religious background they come from. We look at the person, we see their inside, and we know that they can be a good leader. So I hope and I pray that people will look at me and say, that's a good leader. And I think that, you know, that's how we all should look at people.
Well, Representative Lawson, as this campaign moves forward, and I'll extend to you the same invitation that I extended your predecessor. You know, you're welcome on the program anytime. The members of the Democratic caucus, as well as the Republican caucus, in case the Republicans are out there listening, and they have been very good to respond as well. They are welcome on this program all the time to, you know, tell the community where they're coming from, to hear directly from listeners in the community on the issues that are important to you, because this election is less than 100 days, November the 6th. As I tell my audience, you don't get mad, you get even.
That's right.
In a positive way on November the 6th, because we may not see a lot of commercials for the president. We may not even see the president within the boundaries of the state, but we still got to take care of business, not just in the White House, but in the State House and the local communities as well as school board now in the fall.
Absolutely. School board's out there. That's right.
I got to ask you, because this is going to be new for you guys up in Northwest Indiana as it is for us. Is there a concern that school board that always is exciting and contentious in a local community is going to get lost in the shuffle in the fall?
I would hope not. I mean, I think that one of the things that legislators need to be doing when they're out on the campaign trail is just reminding people of that. county chairman and elected officials need to say, you know, the biggest expense in the state of Indiana is education. So we need to make sure that we've got good people at the helm that are paying attention, and we need to make sure that our school boards are as strong as any other elected official in the state of Indiana. And believe me, I've been there, and I can tell you it is the most you have more work to do and more people to be accountable for, and the Hammond has 15,000 kids in our school corporation, and that's not anything near what Indianapolis has, right. But it was a lot of kids. And when you think of the needs that they have, and 80% of our kids and every one of our schools are on free and reduced lunch. Mm. And some of the kids in Hammond, Indiana, the only two meals they get a day, as well as Indianapolis, are the two they get at school. So, you know, you've got to absolutely make sure that those kids that are disadvantaged and don't have the same opportunities get the same opportunities. And so it's going to require very, very smart and good people on the school board to be able to push that in the right direction.
She's the new leader of Democrats in the House of Representatives on the Democratic side, State Representative Linda Lawson, the pride of Hammond. When does school start? I got to ask you, when does school start in Hammond?
It starts the end of August.
Wait a minute. You guys start the end of August. I got schools that started today.
I know.
Can't we? And I understand local control. I respect local control. But we've got to come to some kind of consensus, even if we can create a consensus that all schools in Indiana start over a 1 week span. And because this is crazy, we got schools starting today, and you guys don't start till the end of the month. It's weird.
Well, do you remember when we all started school the day after Labor Day?
Yep.
And we all got out the same day in June. And it was like, I think my high school graduation was like a June 4th or 5th or 6th. And then the other kids had to continue going to school for one more week. So, yeah, we all got out on the same day. We all started on the same day. I remember that clearly. Yeah, my granddaughter starts like the 15th. She starts a week before the Hammond schools. And she's in Highland. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, trust me, I respect local control because, you know, there's people that want to, you know, take local control away from our Indianapolis public schools and let a mayor control it. And my thing is,
No.
That's
what happened in Chicago. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I heard it. That ain't working up there.
No.
You can tell. We got a fighter here. Chris is impressed. You know, Chris doesn't impress easily. We know we got a fighter here. Linda Lawson, the pride of Hammond, Indiana, the new leader of Democrats in the House of Representatives. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir. Anytime.
Look forward to seeing you at one point, eyeball to eyeball in the studio. Thank you.
We'll do that. Have a wonderful day.
All right. You too.